Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
There's your hater, Mac. From the 913X is playing with a torn labrum, and y'all talking about trading him after all the years of crying about receivers. Get the F out of here.
Fair enough.
There's one.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point to come back with. He is banged up. We don't know how healthy he truly is, how much he's gutting it out, you know, at this point of the season. And look, but we can have those conversations like,
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You want to see more out of Chris Jones. I didn't think Patrick Mahomes played good at all on Sunday. He got to stop wearing the Superman cape.
Yeah.
Don't try to be Superman on every play. It's like it's okay to be like the Green Lantern or Ant-Man or, you know, one of these other superheroes. Like, you don't have to be Superman the entire time. You're out there on the field. It's okay to facilitate a little bit. Bruce Wayne.
Which is ironic because sometimes being Superman can be your own kryptonite.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
Nice.
Geek. Deep. That was a deep thought.
That was deep.
By Dusty Likens.
That's right.
Hello, America.
We know that sports are judged or athletes are judged by the gap that separates them from the others, right? Like we look at the quarterback classroom. We know it's Lamar, Pat, Burrow, Jackson or Allen, right? That's a pretty sizable, you know, good room.
I don't even know that's that big anymore.
And then the gap between them and the next
is
sizably different, right? The gap between Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy is clearly there, right? Xavier Worthy, and they're obviously two different wide receivers, but the talent that's there between the two, the gap is sizable. The gap between the first seed and the AFC and the eighth seed, which would be the Kansas City Chiefs, is marginal this year at least. And that's why, you know, Tuesday you reflect after you react, I think is the best way to put it. And you look at the first seed in the AFC right now, and it's the Colts, right? And I think we could all sit here and say it's been not your ideal season for the Kansas City Chiefs. You're 5-4. You're going to the bye week in week 10, one game above 500. And, you know, the internet's insanely undefeated, but you're the same record as Carolina Panthers, hence the song that we played, and I'll continue to play throughout the day because it slaps. But the gap between teams, and I know the records would indicate something completely different, but the gap between the teams in the AFC is not massive. It's not like we do this every year in college. You mentioned college basketball, where it's like, okay, it's UConn, it's Kansas, it's North Carolina, it's Duke, and then it's everybody else, right? And I'm just throwing out teams in general. But you look at the AFC, and your one seed is the Colts, the Patriots are the two, the Broncos are the three, the Pittsburgh Steelers are the four. Any of those teams can beat each other on any given Sunday, which I know is a cliche for the NFL, but in reality, you would believe that.
Yeah.
Right? 7-2 Colts, 7-2 Patriots, 7-2 Broncos, 5-3 Pittsburgh Steelers. So the records would tell you that they are, you know, pretty solid teams. Buffalo 6-2. They're the first wild card. Chargers 6-3, second wild card. Jags, third wild card, 5-3. Kansas City, the eighth seed right now, outside of the playoff picture at 5-4.
Mm-hmm. And then it gets like all under 500 after that.
Yeah, then it's Houston, Baltimore, Cincinnati, right. Yada, yada, yada.
You essentially got eight teams battling for seven spots right now. And really, you take four of those away because they're your division winners. So, you're, you know, you got four teams battling for three spots.
And we'll see the difference in teams when the Broncos and the Chiefs play in about 2 weeks or a week and a half from tomorrow when the Chiefs go to Denver after the bye week. But you look at that and you tell yourself, normally the top, you know, three teams in the, or the top four teams, it's, you know, more often than not, it's Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, and
whoever wins
Houston in the South, right? The last couple of years. And it's been kind of like, okay, well, the four seeds are the four seeds. The wild card teams really don't have a chance, but it gives us an extra free week in a football. We'll watch it. But really, we're waiting for the divisional and the championship rounds per se every year because that's where the crop of the talent is.
Mm-hmm.
This is a crapshoot this year in the AFC.
Yep.
And it just so happens that the worst year the Chiefs have had, you know, maybe record-wise under Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, happens to be the year that it's the best year where records really don't matter. It's more so, can you just get in? And then after that, it's like, well, do you really fear going to Indianapolis and playing on the road? Do you fear going into New England playing Drake May and Mike Vrabel? Are they a good team? Absolutely. What's their playoff experience? Zil.
Zero.
What's the Colts playoff experience? Nothing.
Nothing.
You know, Denver maybe scares you a little bit in conference or in division and has a good defense. But what I'm getting at is this is a year where, yes, your record is 5-4. Yes, we might sound a little homerish to say, like, all you got to do is get in. But in reality, that's all you have to do this year because there is not right now, at least in my opinion, a team in the AFC that you're like, it's that team and everybody else.
Yeah, well, it's not, though. And that's the good thing about this. That's what's making kind of this season a lot of fun, I think, for a lot of people is we just don't know. Every week we come in here and on Monday I look at you guys and go, who's the best team in the NFL? And I think every week we've had a different answer when I've asked that question. And I'm not doing it because I'm losing my marbles. I'm doing it to see who you guys think is the best NFL team this week because the Green Bay Packers have left the conversation. They're not part of the group chat anymore, right? Indianapolis, I don't think they're part of the group chat anymore, even though they are the one seed right now. They just got their teeth kicked
Detroit's
in over the weekend.
Not.
I don't know that Detroit's part of that group chat anymore. You can't put the Chiefs in the group chat right now. It's sitting on the outside of the postseason, you know, looking in, even though I do believe they are the best team in the NFL, they're still 5-4. You're still what your record is. You're still not finding ways to win enough games. So I don't know who is part of that group chat, but what I do know is
it Philadelphia still?
I don't know that it is. I mean, it may be Philadelphia.
I mean, they're 6-2 and AJ Brown's irrelevant.
But is it Philadelphia by default at this point in time?
Well, and that's past precedence matters too. They've won. Sure. They've been there.
Yep.
They're making accusations. They made three trades in a week and they're 6-2 on top of their division, the number one seed in the NFC.
Maybe. I mean, that's fine. I don't have a problem if you said Philadelphia was the best team in the NFL right now. But again, the problem is we just don't know. And that's a good thing. We're midway through the season and it is still wide open. And then you looked at those standings, right? Take away whoever the one seed is right now, Indianapolis. So 2, 3, and 4 on that list are New England, Pittsburgh, and
New England, Denver, Pittsburgh.
New England, Denver, Pittsburgh, right? Those are your three. Would you really care about going on the road to any of those series in the wild
just
card?
Just Denver
round of the
because
playoffs?
Of being a divisional
just
foe.
For the third time, they always think that's a pretty big deal.
The thin air has an aspect like Indianapolis in a dome, Pittsburgh's cold, so is Kansas City, New England, inexperienced. Yeah, I'd like to see May in the playoffs, see what he does.
I'd see, absolutely. May or Mahomes. You're taking Mahomes 10 times out of 10. You just are going into a game like that. You're taking Mahomes 10 times out of 10, probably in a playoff game against Bo Nix as well, even if it would be, you know, in Denver. And the Denver thing is interesting because I've started to sniff around a little bit out there as to, you know, what's going on. And a lot
don't
yesterday,
say too much. I know, come back
well,
hungry.
Ooh, baby. well, you do that in Missouri as well, but not Kansas. You can go out there right now and start to listen to what they're saying in Denver. And one of the big topics yesterday is Sean Payton and Bo Nix going to be able to fix this offense. Like that's what they're talking about right now in Denver with a 7-2, right? Football team. Can they fix this offense? Because they all know these last 3 weeks for the Denver Broncos have not been impressive at all, but they found ways to win. And that's impressive because I said that last year with the Chiefs. But this Denver team isn't a veteran team like the Chiefs are right now, right? This is like that Denver. This is like the Chiefs team in Andy Reid's first year that went 11-5. That was kind of fun. That was winning some games. It was doing some good things. And you're like, yeah, but they're just not right there. Once they, you know, meet the reality of life, they'll be put in their place. And Peyton Manning did just that when the Chiefs were, what, 9-0 that year, you know, and they went to Denver and just got shellacked by the better football team at that point in time. So like Denver right now, they're cannibalizing themselves out there right now. And I'll be honest with you, Sean Payton, there may be some people that want to, you know, roll into him on the sidelines with his attitude lately and the way that he's talking about things. Like, they've just won the Super Bowl out there. And I even saw that in Denver yesterday. Is Sean Payton being too cocky about things right now? Because he's living life out there. He needs a dose of some reality.
I think it was Scott Hanson this past week on Red Zone said that the Denver Broncos are just absolutely astonishing when it turns into the fourth quarter, but for the first three quarters, they're just very vanilla.
Yeah.
And then the fourth quarter happens. You saw it in the New York game, this past game against Davis Mills and the Houston Texans.
But how much of that
they
is opponent?
Did against Philadelphia? I mean, look, Denver's winning the same way Kansas City won last year, and now we're saying, you know, the same things about Denver. Can they fix the offense? Have they won the Super Bowl yet? They're 6-2 and they're rolling.
Yeah, but they also are 7-2. But they also are a very young team. That's why, like, it's fun right now. But like I said, when they start to meet the big boys and the people that matter, are they going to feel that way? Are they going to score? They're not scoring 33 in the fourth quarter against pretty much anybody but the Giants, right? They're not going to come back against, I mean, the Houston thing. I mean, they should have blown the doors off of the Houston. Once C.J. Stroud went out of that game and you know, Patty Mills is out there playing quarterback, or Davis, whoever the hell that was, like, that guy stunk. I mean, he looked awful out there playing quarterback. He looked like the three of us playing quarterback out
there. I think
there
the reason
Sunday.
Denver's impressive is because they have to be so cheap right now.
Yeah, they do. You're right.
Like, they just don't have any money because they're still eating Russell Wilson's contract while he's a backup in New York, which is just a terrible move on that franchise. But hey, look, they're doing what the best they can with what they have.
And they're doing good. Look, they're doing great.
They're turning chicken, you know what, into chicken
salad.
Yes,
they are. They're doing good things. But the schedule is eventually going to turn for Denver. We're going to get some real teams on there, you know, not the Giants, who give you 33 in the fourth quarter or whatever. Tough. I mean,
13 against the Jets. 13-11 win.
I mean, it's just, in London.
Yeah.
In London, fine.
But still, I mean, it's the Jets. You only put up 13 points. You know,
yeah, Rams were just in London. They looked great. That's another team that could be tough.
There's your answer.
Yeah.
You know, again, they're becoming my new Green Bay Packers, where I love their coach to death and I completely forget about them.
And then you'll see where they rank in Max Pack tomorrow. And
yes, sir.
Should be number one on the list. Don't forget, Sports Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL and CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL games every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Danon Hughes, we'll talk to him about Xavier Worthy on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Leo Chanel, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. You hear them on game days in the booth.
Quickly, they get chunky and funky with stretching the field vertically.
And Thursday nights at 6 during Players Only.
Spitfire, hot fire take.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network color analyst, Danon Hughes, on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
See, I know Danon's down. The Chiefs lost, but I know the one way to bring Danon up is with Way Too Short.
What's up, y'all? I got a question. Y'all ready to support these Carolina Panthers as they keep pounding against these Green Bay Packers?
Yeah. How about this, Danon?
Also, if I had $150,000, I want you to know exactly what I would do, y'all. Check it out. Spend $150,000 on a football team. Wait a minute, that's not enough to buy a team. Spend $150,000 on a tricked out Porsche. Wait, what? Minnesota, it snows too much. Build me a tennis court outside my house. But the HOA is gonna make me tear it down. Might give me some Panthers season ticks. Just might get a tiny home in the sticks. I get some Reese's peanut butter cups. Heck no, I ain't sharing, I'ma eat them all up. Might give me a plane and fly to Spain. Except I don't even know how to fly a plane. Scratch that, I'ma get me a big old bus. One big enough for all of us to die.
Right? Why don't you take off? Turkey by the fly.
Windows down, not up so you can hear.
Most of the pilots are drinking anyway, right?
You kidding. Had 150,000.
So I start the interview off here with Danon Hughes. Danon, what would you do with 150,000?
That is the worst. That is absolutely the worst. Definitely not a hot fire, spitfire take. My goodness.
That's,
you remember the rapping Duke?
Oh, yeah.
That one, even that is better than this.
No doubt about it.
I mean, that was absolutely brutal.
I love it. It's
150,000.
It's in the queue in the Oxcord dated by 11:30 at night on the patio. A glass of, you know, brown liquid gets poured and that gets dropped on the beat.
People like that.
We are talking to Dayton Hughes, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue, brought to you also by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. Dayton, let me ask you real quick. Mac Morey, our producer, had a take on Xavier Worthy. It's a tough Tuesday. And we saw the report of maybe Xavier Worthy tipping pitches, showing like if he's going to be in the route or if it's going to be a run play. What say you from a wide receiver perspective of how Xavier Worthy's looked the last few weeks?
Well, I think anything's possible in regards to tells. You guys have heard me talk about that, you know, from a poker standpoint, or for listeners that aren't, you know, recognizing the game of poker, everybody has a tell. Same thing with football. Josh Klingler and I and Eric Townsend, when we are doing the pregame show, there are times all throughout these 6 years of doing the Chiefs radio network that I pointed things out during pregame. This guy is running this route. He's not running it at the right depth. It's not as disciplined and crisp. Then in the games, when guys break the huddle, the most notorious tell is when you break the huddle, the way a wide receiver breaks the huddle and runs to his position and the way he lines up. If he's more upright, more times than not, that tells you it could be a run play. If he's more in a track stance, like he looks like he's about to come out the gates, then that could tell you it's a pass play. If a guy spits on his gloves, if he rubs his hands together, if he does put his mouthpiece in, like all those different things. When you talk about, or you hear me talk about film study, a lot of that has to do with film study. Like you're trying to get every inch you can. And if I'm a defense or defensive player, and the Bills, just as an example, because that's the last team we played, had a lot of veterans on their defense. And I guarantee you, part of being a veteran is knowing how to find out just little things that can give you that extra inch, that can allow you that extra step. Joey Bosa guy, I mean, you look throughout their entire depth chart on defense. Greg Rousseau, like, you're trying to tell me those guys are not watching film and recognizing, oh, when Juwan Taylor gets in this type of stance, or Jalen Moore is in this type of stance, or depending on how Creed Humphrey holds the ball before he snaps, wide receivers getting to the line of scrimmage, body language, all of those different things. So it's not surprising. I haven't seen it specifically from Xavier Worthy, but I am definitely not surprised if somebody picks up on that. And in regards to Xavier Worthy, sorry to be so long-winded on this, because you know, we're in a passionate time of the year leading into a bye after a loss. But I will say this. I said it on the pregame show. It can be a challenge to be the number one receiver and then be relegated to the number two receiver. And remember, I mean, he and Rashee Rice hadn't played together that much. And for Rashee to come back in, and now he is getting the targets that Xavier was getting. He's running the flip passes and the jet sweeps and, you know, lining up in the backfield and in the wildcat formation. And now Xavier is the number two. It's easier to go from number two to number one than to go from number two to number one back to number two, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, like, these are the things that, from a bye week perspective, from self-evaluation and self-scouting, that, and the coaches coming into play, that these are the things that you tighten up during the bye week.
So when let's take all of what you said right there, and I'm just going to ask a simplistic question. How do we fix it? And by it, I mean not tipping pitches and then getting him to understand, like, hey, this is kind of the way it goes now.
Film. The eye in the sky don't lie. That's always been the moniker in regards to professional sports, even college sports, is that you watch the film and you have a reality check with yourself. And then you lean on the coaches, Matt Nagy as the offensive coordinator and Andy Reid being the genius offensive mind that he is. Like, you have that team meeting, and you just turn on the film. And then you just point out exactly things like you guys just said. Why do I already know this is a run play?
Mm-hmm.
Look at number one. Look at number 77. Look at, point out the different numbers. Look at how the running back is standing in the backfield. Like, one tell is how deep a running back could be. Let's say Kareem Hunt, and I'm not saying this is true because I haven't looked at it from this perspective, but let's say Kareem Hunt lines up at 6 yards when he gets the ball and 5 or 5.5 when he doesn't. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the things that film study factors into. And so to answer your question, that's what the bye week is for. You do a self-scouting because you don't have the time to make those adjustments every single week. I mean, we're going to go through another stretch this year around Christmas where we're going to have 3 games in 11 days. And there's just not that much time to be able to tighten the screws on everything. But during the bye week, you sit down as a unit and you say, this is what other teams, this is what more veteran teams are seeing. This is what scouting departments and pre-scouting departments, the Denver Broncos, were watching this Bills game in preparation for our game next week. This is what they took away from this. Now, we're going in, unless we make these changes and adjustments, we're going in at a deficit to the Denver Broncos because they see these things and how it all transpired.
Yeah, Danan, you mentioned the line that I love the most of the eyes in the skies don't lie. What are the eyes telling you about number 95?
Need more. I don't think it's a surprise to him. I don't think it's a surprise to anybody in the Chiefs kingdom. Like, he had 2 tackles against the Bills. He's got 13 tackles, 2 sacks, 5 tackles for loss on the season in 9 games. Like, I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility that, or the thought process of, hey, we just need more. You're supposed to be the best defensive lineman in the league. It's not a knock. He's going to be on the Ring of Honor. He's probably going to be in the Hall of Fame. But at 5-4, losing 4 games by 1 score, the same 4 games that we won last year when we went 11-0 in 1-score games, we're not doing that, and everybody needs to give more. I mean, if you compare him, I think on any team, or any year previously with George Karlaftis and he being those 2 guys at the defensive line position, you would compare those guys in regards to stats. And there were years where Chris Jones's numbers were more eye-popping than George, and then George's numbers starting to dwarf Chris Jones's. But George has almost triple the amount of tackles, more than double the amount of sacks, more tackles for loss. That's what stands out. So, like, if you're going to be a dominant force, and the dominant force that we've become accustomed to seeing, it's got to show up more.
I agree, Dan. And you know, I think at times, you know, we focus on the backups or the nondescript players, and we got to get more out of these guys. No, you need more out of your stars. And every game that the Chiefs have lost this season is because their stars didn't play to the level that we need them to play. Patrick stunk on Sunday. He'll admit that. Chris Jones stunk on Sunday. You know, every time they lose a game, it's because the stars don't show up and do what they need to do. This is a star-driven league, and when your stars don't show up, it's hard to win football games.
And the humility factor is huge. Like, I know as a professional athlete, you guys have heard me say this, there's a level of invincibility that you have to have. You have to believe that whatever injury you sustain, you'll bounce back from. Whoever you're playing against, you're better than. Whoever's playing in front of you, you're better than. You just need an opportunity. Or whatever, there's no game that's too big for you. There's no stage that's too big for you. There's no catch that you can't make. There's no DB that you can't shake. There's nothing that can, like, you are the driving force for everything that happens on your particular team. You have to have that mindset. But then there's also the reality of looking in the mirror and, like, man, like, I remember games walking off the field, like, what the heck did I just do? Like, that was not a good performance. I could have been better. I missed this pass, or I ran this bad route, or I didn't get as many tackles as I should have on special teams. Like that's the reality check, and there's some humility that goes into that. And it's not like sometimes, especially now with social media, which wasn't a force back when I was playing, thank goodness. But sometimes with social media, guys get in their feelings so quickly. And this is not to dog Chris Jones. I am in no position, no way, shape, or form to dog somebody that's probably going to wear a gold jacket. But that doesn't mean two things can't be true at the same time. That at this moment, at 5-4, 13 tackles, 2 sacks, 5 tackles for loss is not enough. I mean, that's just not enough for where we need to go if we're trying to get to the promised land again, and this year being in San Francisco.
Dana, last one for you, quick one here for you. Midseason, week 10, bye. What grade do you give this Kansas City Chiefs team?
I will go through all the grades for every position on my show, Players Only, on Thursday night, but giving overall grade right now, I'd have to say we are at a C.
Yeah.
Right. We're at a C. I think, we definitely have the capabilities. I mean, especially for me being a former C student, I had the capabilities of being an A student. But, I was lackluster in social studies and history. I'd say right now it is fair to say that we're playing at a C clip, but we definitely have the possibilities with an asterisk to jump that to an A.
Do you think that we will see a big move made today
for the Chiefs?
Yeah.
I don't know I guess I would throw the question back at you guys. What is a big move?
Well, I think a name that people know, like Breece Hall, would be a big move. Getting a defensive tackle would not be. You know what I'm saying? Like perception wise. Yeah.
I mean, I was liking a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about Calais Campbell. How huge would that get have been? But I don't think, based on them winning last night, they're not necessarily in the playoff hunt in the West right now, but that would be huge. I feel like if you're going to go D-line, you have to get an established veteran that has similar accolades, because if you're trying to push Chris Jones and maximize what you're getting from him based on what you're paying, it's not going to come by way of some younger player. It's got to be somebody that also garners the same kind of respect. So I am not in favor, never have been, outside of multiple injuries to a position like we had last year when we went and got DeAndre Hopkins. I am not in favor of getting offensive help this late in the season. I just think it takes too long for them to get acclimated to the offense and the shifts and motions and everything else. So I guess I'm not in favor of that. So I would lean more towards the defensive side, defensive linemen, as well as maybe a corner.
Dana, I want to ask you one more, because I had a take earlier where I think the gap between the one seed and the Chiefs being the eighth seed right now in the AFC is very minimal. I don't think it's a big gap between the Colts and the Chiefs. Who is the team in the AFC that has your eyes on them to say, like, that team's pretty for real?
In the AFC, the team that I think is pretty for real, I guess I would have to lean on the Patriots. They're figuring out ways to win tight games. I mean, look at the landscape of the NFL this week and the 15 games that were played. I believe there were 15 total. Like, there were a lot of close games. And I'd even venture to believe, if you're a football fan, to go back and look at each week, how many games are separated by one score. It's tight. So nobody is pulling away in regards to being the best team. Everybody was talking about the Indianapolis Colts, and they wet the bed. The Patriots, to me, have to be the team, the force to be reckoned with right now, with the most confidence in the AFC.
I love it. Danan, we appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the week off, and then it's off to Denver, man, where you get to really have some fire and hot fire stuff going on in that game, and hopefully the team bounces back and gets a better second semester grade.
Yeah, we got must win. How crazy is it, guys, that we're going to be talking about must win situations as we move into like week 10, week 11, week 12? It's probably the earliest that we've ever talked about it when it did not have anything to do with a number one seed.
Yeah, I mean, I think I said yesterday, I think they can afford two more losses the rest of the year.
Yeah, but those two losses, not that I would like because I have obnoxious Cowboy fans, but those two losses as family, those two losses need to be in the NFC or, you know, definitely not within the division.
No doubt about it. Danon, we appreciate it, man. Take care. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
It's Danon Hughes there. It's brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. Also brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer.
I told Mac in that when he was talking, I said, we could rerun that whole interview. That was one of Danon's best performances. That was outstanding stuff
was
from
raw,
him today.
For sure.
I mean, he's been on a heater this year, though.
Yeah.
This whole season, he's been on a heater, man.
Yeah.
Danon's been giving great insight.
10,000 hours, man. You become the master of your craft. I loved his response. What are you seeing from 95 with the eyes in the sky? Do more.
Do more. And that's coming from a former player, so it means more than coming from me and you. You know, it just does.
And
it
that
really
guy watches
does.
Everything.
Right. Like Danon played the game. He understands what max effort means. He understands what working hard means. He understands all the stuff that athletes always try to tell us. You guys don't know because you didn't play the game. No, but I watched the game. I've studied the game, right? I probably know more about football than 90% of the guys that are playing in the NFL at this point in time, right? And so when I watch these games and I see these things, it's always good to have a guy that played the game kind of back us up, Dusty. And I feel really good about where we are in our takes right now about Chris Jones, because I think if you read between the lines a little bit with Danon there, there was a lot of frustration for Chris Jones. I mean, he mentioned that George Karloftis has twice as many tackles, twice as many sacks, twice as many pressures as Chris Jones does this season. And I don't want the excuses anymore. Oh, he's getting double teamed. He's doing that. It doesn't matter. That stuff doesn't show up in the stat book. If you're going to be considered one of the greatest of all time, then you have to go out there and do things that we don't normally see from the players that played your position in the past. And that's where Chris Jones is, because the gold jacket is coming. The Ring of Honor is coming. We need him to finish his career on a high note. And he's got to go out there in the second half of the season, start taking over games. They need him to do so.
He's kind of giving me like Seth Lugo vibes.
I hate that comparison, but I don't disagree with that comparison.
It's like, come on, man. Like, we gave you the money.
Right.
You're the anchor. You got to go do it. 3 innings, 7 hits, 4 runs out after the 3 1/3.
Since he signed that contract, Seth Lugo did nothing. Now, Chris Jones had a good year last year.
Sure.
And what did he sign that contract? 2 years ago?
Yep.
So the last 2 years have been good. This year, maybe again.
On a late night on a Friday.
But maybe we're seeing what I've been talking about. That age may have finally just caught up to Chris Jones. And maybe he is doing his best, but his body just isn't responding anymore. And if that's the case, then you got to retire.
Coming up on the other side, Mac Morey takes over with one word on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan. One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin.
Oh, yeah, it's a Tuesday. Just talked to Danon Hughes, our guy, talking about the trade deadline. He wants a defensive lineman. So far, just the Cowboys have acquired a linebacker today, Logan Wilson from the Cincinnati Bengals. That's all that's really happened today. We'll be keeping you updated with everything, all things Chiefs and NFL trade deadline right here on 96.5 The Fan. One word on Chiefs as it is in regards to the NFL trade deadline day.
Bland. I think that's what it's going to be. You heard even Danon kind of talk about it. He's not interested in an offensive guy, maybe a defensive tackle. So I think it's going to be bland, but bland doesn't have to mean bad. I just need a defensive tackle or 10 that can come in here and stop the run. This team has not been great against the run, and they need to figure out a way to get that thing stopped. And so I think they need a defensive tackle. It's not a want right now. It is a need for this team.
Yeah, you got to have something, man. That no pressure from Jones against Washington, non-existent against Josh Allen and the Bills. He was able to just dance around back there. I mean, he didn't even really have to use his legs. He could just stand back there on the spot and just wait.
It affects your secondary. It affects your linebackers. You need pressure. I would love to have defensive line help and somebody that can really move the needle for this defense to create pressure against their opposing quarterbacks, because your next three quarterbacks all somewhat mobile. Bo Nix, Dak Prescott, and, of course, Daniel Jones.
Yeah, and we know if they see the Bills again in the playoffs, Josh Allen will indeed use those legs.
And I can already see it now. Dak mobile? What are you talking about?
Yeah, no, absolutely Dak's mobile. Yeah. Speaking of Dak, lost last night to the Cardinals on Monday Night Football in Jerry World. One word on Monday Night Football. 27-17.
Yeah, exactly. Cowboys and Arizona, anything but for me last night. So snooze fest. 3-5-1 versus 3-5. I mean, come on. I mean, they couldn't have flexed that thing out, but it is the Cowboys, so.
Yep.
But still, it doesn't take away from my one word of.
My one word for last night's game, disappointing. We are just obviously degenerate gamblers, so. Look, Dallas is Dallas, man. Like, what's the biggest issue? Defense, what they do in the regulars before the regular season started, got rid of their best defensive player. They did make a move today and went and got the Cowboy from Cincinnati, as they'll have a middle linebacker playing for them, new middle linebacker acquisition for them coming up. But again, I think that game last night was surprising, because does Arizona really need Kyler Murray, and is Dallas a real football team? I don't know.
Those are great questions coming out of Monday night's game. The fact that Dallas is adding at this point in time at 3-5-1, I mean, that's why they're a 3-5-1 football team. They're adding Logan Wilson at this point in time, thinking that's going to turn things around for him.
Luke and Owens, brother.
Good luck.
Wow.
And he just wants to be relevant. He said it yesterday, Jerry Jones. Just be relevant. Well, you're relevant.
Loyola Chicago was relevant last night. Hell, got a buzzer beater to win their first game, or one of their first games of the season. College basketball's back. Here's the buzzer beater.
Sister Jean in the presence, baby. Sister Jean.
Justin Moore will inbound it.
Sister Jean.
Goes into Tavares for the win. It's good. And the Loyola Ramblers take down Cleveland State. 91-88.
Bonus points if you knew their name was the Ramblers.
Oh, yeah. Loyola Ramblers. The Ramblin' Wreck of Loyola Tech. That's their name. Fitting is the way to start that. And look, if they don't go to the NCAA tournament this year, we're probably never going to hear of Loyola again.
Damn it.
So fitting, I think, is the way to kind of sum up that one. That's cool. Really neat.
Yeah, my one word would be March. That's what I'll care. But yeah, that's, you know, the for those of you that missed it, they lost their human mascot and Sister Jean. They put a patch on their jerseys this year in honor of her. First game of the year, can't make it up. Buzzer beater, March sort of vibes. Loyola Chicago doing it for the Jean, no doubt about it. So good for them.
Then KU beat Green Bay and Gottlieb 94-51. Darren Peterson could be the number one pick in the NBA draft. Top recruit coming out of high school this season. 21-4-3. One word on KU beating Gottlieb.
I'll use Dusty's word. March.
Good. Doug Gottlieb. I'm surprised you guys put up 51.
You think Bill let him, though, I'm sure.
Yeah, good. I mean, the vibes are back. I mean, obviously, we get to this point later on in the season where what's on the NBA slate on a Tuesday? What's on the NBA slate on a Thursday? What's the NFL game on Thursday night? We're going to get to, like, week 16. Week 15, where it's, you know, a dud versus a dud, and you're like, hey, you know what? Duke and so-and-so are playing. This is number seven. That's where it's relevant. But, yeah, like, you know, Bob said, I said earlier, March, man, like basketball, college basketball, it literally does not matter, right? Like, there'll be big games that will happen in the end of
November. Next couple of weeks, there'll be, like, a couple of those big standalone games, and then it'll be a vast wasteland until March.
And then you'll have, like, once conference play starts, I kind of get a little bit more involved. Yeah. That's when it kind of gets a little bit more fun.
And that's, I mean, January, February?
Yeah, beginning it's of like January. Yeah.
Because they wait till like, after finals, and they get back into the second semester, and then it begins.
And this is when the season should be beginning in January.
Yeah, right around then,
It's just too much. Basketball is way too long.
Florida looking for a next-time head coach. Could be Eli Drinkwitz. He is now favored -110 for the job.
It's
one
insane.
Word. Insane
that he is a runaway favorite for that Florida job, guys. You're more in tune to Missouri than I am, because that's a big loss for the Tigers. Because James Franklin is rumored to be going to Virginia Tech.
Yep.
Hokies.
Who's going to coach Mizzou if he ends up going to Florida? I mean, the fact that he's negative money to get the Florida job is unbelievable to me. Not because it's him, just because it's unbelievable that there's negative money on this one. Like, does somebody know who they're hiring?
Yeah, he's like the top get. He's the top name and all the James Franklin and him. It's crazy. Eli Drinkwitz.
Yeah, I would say that, I don't know, because I hear from a lot of people that are SEC, you know, pounders, and nobody in Florida wants Eli Drinkwitz. From what I've been told from people that follow, you know, Power Mizzou or that, you know, read in those articles and all that sort of, like, everybody in Florida is like, it better not be Eli Drinkwitz, because down there, I don't think anybody's ever heard of Eli Drinkwitz.
They should. He's beating their ass.
But it's also telling that Florida is the favorite to land him.
Why is Florida a better job right now, today, than Missouri?
I mean, the pipeline of the swamp. You're down there.
It's the best pipeline in the United States.
But it is a whittled down pipeline, right?
For
Eli, though, he's got a good thing going at Missouri. Like, so, they're building the new stadium and all that kind of stuff.
So I can tell you why. At Florida, with what Eli Drinkwitz brought to Mizzou, that can be elevated.
No doubt, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
blue blood.
Yeah, you could take Florida, go down there, and have your – because there's one thing we all can be honest with. Eli Drinkwitz can recruit his ass off.
Oh, yes, he can.
I mean, he can get people to his team. He has that belief. He's nerdy enough, but he's cool enough to where that works with people that transfer and also recruiting. And then you go down that Florida pipeline, and you start pulling from, you know, Georgia. You start pulling from Tennessee. You start pulling from all those schools. And all of a sudden, you build this belief in the swamp, and Florida's back. And Eli Drinkwitz seems like a perfect kind of candidate to lead that sort of program because of, you know, what they kind of represent in the SEC. And I again, you just can't underestimate the pipeline that is down there in Florida.
I know, but
and his skill set with it.
But I'm thinking, if I'm Eli Drinkwitz right now, right? This is how I would.
And
view
I think
it.
They've given up on Lane Kiffin.
Yeah,
I think he's either going to the pros or he's staying at Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think that's the right move for him. Either go to the NFL or stay where you are. You got a good thing going there, which brings me to Eli Drinkwitz. You got a good thing going on at Mizzou now. If you're Drink and you look at Mizzou and you think you're capped and you're going to hit this glass ceiling and you're not going to be able to break through, then obviously that is a reason to go. But if you're comparing programs right now, as of today, who's in better shape? Missouri's in much better shape than Florida is right now. But that can be turned, obviously, with the right head coach. But you have to think, with all the power that Florida has, how do coach? You must be a real dope to fail at the University of Florida in football. I mean, you must be some kind of ass. You have to be.
Somebody brings a good point as well, like the recruiting pipeline and no state income tax. Eli likes
that. Yeah, there is that too. Yeah.
I also think that there are two things that can be true. If Eli does leave Mizzou and goes to Florida, he could be the next name because he doesn't have a whole lot to prove, right? Like, to Florida, yes, he has to prove they can win and they can, you know, recruit and stay relevant in the SEC. And somebody makes a good point. You go 9-3 at Mizzou, you're praised. You go 9-3 in Florida, you're fired.
You're fired. Yeah, that's the other thing. Great point. Yeah.
And I think that when you look at if he stays at Mizzou, then, I mean, you might as well have the same size house as Bill Self has in Lawrence. Like, you don't have to go anywhere. Like,
yeah.
you said no to a better job to some. Maybe some don't agree with that. But you stayed home. You stayed in Columbia. You're going to keep flying that helicopter to Lee Summit North, Lee Summit, wherever you're going, Blue Springs South, and around the local schools, but also pulling from the transfer portal and making the team better. Because you look at Pabula and Hardy, both were on this team this year that weren't on that team last year, and they were much better because of it. So we shall see.
It's just a very interesting one for me because I see both sides to this story. I can see being a lifer and you know, doing your thing at Mizzou and being a hero there, but I also feel that need to say, you know what, I got a chance to go to Florida. Maybe I will. And what if I turn around Florida? You know, you have to have that confidence in yourself, you know, as well if you drink. But I just go back to, who's Missouri getting?
I Colin Klein.
Like, let me ask you guys this, and again, take my Kansas side out of it. Is the Missouri job a valued job, a desired job, if it opens up? Or is this one where you get a top coordinator to be your job?
Probably that. Yeah.
I mean, the other thing, too, is that
competing with Florida and LSU and Penn State, like Missouri,
Oklahoma, Texas, Tennessee.
I'm talking open jobs.
No, he's talking about open jobs.
Those three jobs. I mean, come on, they're far and away more prestigious. They've got more history. They've got better facilities. They've got a better pipeline. All of it.
Right.
Right.
Come on. So, yeah,
Mizzou fans don't hate me.
No, I mean, it's just, it is the reality, right?
Yeah.
That's what it is. Now, if he stays, then again, like I said, you're celebrating. You have a parade, not a parade, but you're happy that he chose to stay with you.
Huge win, yeah.
But also, I don't think you're surprised if he leaves. It is what it is. Midwest.
I'd be saying the same thing if they were talking about Lance Leipold taking another job, right? Which he's on all the odds anyway. Who's Kansas going to get?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, then you really could be a heel and go get Colin Klein.
Oh, my God.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
God, that would be the greatest
show. Would you love that show?
I would love that.
Coming up next, it's Bob's Bonehead of the Week, Raw. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas State Athletics.
You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Isaiah Pacheco, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.